St. Dominic's Catholic Church in San Francisco presents a homily by Father Isaiah Mary Molano on November 10, 2019, the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today's Gospel is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 to 38, proclaimed by Deacon Charles McNeil.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had married her." And Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Today's first reading is something out of a nightmare. A mother's worst fear, seeing her children, the fruit of her womb, tortured, killed, one by one, all because they didn't want to give up their faith. And if you read the full version, the writer of Maccabees goes in great lengths to demonstrate the son's faith in God as well as the cruelty of the torturers. And before we sugarcoat this story, or even dismiss it as a story as something that happened thousands of years ago in a land far, far away, we are reminded of the 21 Christian men, their heads covered, dressed in long orange jumpsuits, who were beheaded on the beaches of Libya by ISIS. We remember our brothers and sisters in southern China holding vigil in their church while the communist government are scheduling their church's demolition. And even within our own community, occasionally we would receive word that those in our own country are encouraged to wear their crosses and their crucifixes underneath their clothing, if not wear them at all, because they find the crucifix offensive. November is the month in where we contemplate the four last things. Those four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And in this month above all, we rediscover how foundational our faith can be, how foundational our relationship with Jesus can be. This month, as we contemplate the four last things, we rediscover how esoteric and erudite that our faith is sometimes not. That our faith in Jesus is not superficial, not something that can pass away, but it is something real. It is tangible. Our faith is something that we can physically taste and feel and touch. It is a faith that we take into ourselves every single time we receive the Eucharist from this altar. The four last things that remind us that how material, foundational, and tangible our faith really is. Or to put it another way, the young men in our first reading, they didn't just happen to be zealous for their faith one day. They didn't one day choose to be men of the covenant and decide that this was the day where they decided to not eat pork. No, they spent their entire lives training for that moment. It wasn't as if they put on a suit and suddenly they were Iron Man. It wasn't as if they went to the store, bought a wand, and suddenly they were Harry Potter. No, they trained their lives, all their lives long, in order to give their lives as a gift to God. All their lives, their mother taught them how to live and how to die. As we hear in our gospel, they were trained to live a life of the angels, insofar that praying to God and contemplating God's mysteries all their lives long. They knew, and they were trained to know, that their lives were a gift. And that day, they were asked to give that gift of their lives to God. So how do we train? How do we train ourselves as they did? How do we prepare to give our lives to God? Now, not all of us will be martyrs, praise God. But each and every single one of us is called, nonetheless, to give ourselves to God as a gift. So how do we train? How can we make this happen? So a memory of the seven brothers that died in our first reading in the Maccabees, I give you seven suggestions in ways that we can train ourselves of how we can give ourselves to God. So in no particular order, here we go. Number one is plainly obvious. Number one needs to be, has to be, prayer. Prayer is that conversation that we have with God as a friend. Prayer is allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to God, whether it be praying a rosary while we're on our walk, or that 30 minutes of silence each day, praying grace before our meals, having that life of conversation with God, that constant conversation of God with a friend, conversing with God, including having that routine place, that routine time to pray, to have that conversation with Jesus. When and where are you speaking with Jesus as your best friend? It has to be number one. Number one has to be prayer. Number two, having life of a community. Having those friends and family members who are bringing you close to God. Those people are keeping you accountable towards the way of virtue to make sure that you're actually growing in our faith. Jesus, he speaks to us through the community. When he ascended into heaven, that is what he left behind. He left the church. He left us, our brothers and sisters. And in our second reading today, we hear in St. Paul, he asks his fellow Christians, his own brothers and sisters, our own brothers and sisters, to pray for him and pray for the mission. In other words, Christianity has not ever been, nor will it ever be, a solo sport. So we need our brothers and sisters, our fellow Christians, to grow in this life of virtue, to grow within our life of prayer. Number two, needs to be a community. Number three, an unpopular choice, fasting. Fasting from food, dessert. It doesn't have to be a twice a year activity. I mean, parents, you give up things for your children all the time. When it comes to time for the Olympics, we hear all the time about these young men and women who are training from early morning to late in the night. Why? Disciplining their body. Why? So that they can give their lives to their sport. And so it needs to be with us, where we have to train, we have to fast, we have to discipline our own bodies so that we can give our lives not to sport, but to our God. Giving up these little things here and there so we can learn how to give up those greater things for our love for God. Number three, fasting. And number four, going to confession. As we well know, we offer this before every Sunday Mass. And confession brings us that great teaching of humility, that virtue of humility, that virtue of humility, a virtue that we always strive for, yet on this side of heaven, we rarely attain. The best way to train for heaven is by discovering where our weaknesses and where our strengths are. This is why we have confession so frequently, so that we can learn the next lesson, to learn how to train. Number four is confession. And number five, living that life of service. Our faith is concrete. A life that not is only of our mind, but of our hands and feet as well. Paraphrasing St. Teresa of Avila, the only hands that Christ has are our hands. The only feet that Christ has are our feet. So if we want to demonstrate our love for Jesus, if we want to act as Jesus acts, we give ourselves to the poor in service. We serve each other in humility and love. Number five, living that life of service. And number six, forming our faith. Forming our faith. St. Thomas Aquinas once said, the more perfectly we know God, the more perfectly we love him. The more perfectly we know God, the more perfectly we love him. And we cannot give ourselves to Jesus or to each other if we don't know anything about him. The Maccabean brothers, those 21 men who gave their lives at Libya, they were free to give their lives to God because they knew who and what God was about. And only by learning deeply of these mysteries can we truly give our lives to God, forming our faith. And finally, number seven, we all know what it is. We're doing it right now. It's coming to Mass, attending the sacred mysteries. The greatest act that a Christian can do is participate in Mass, to immerse oneself within the mysteries of our faith. Mass is that time where we encounter Jesus most fully. We take in his body and blood. Mass is where we encounter him within our Christian community. The work of sanctity begins and ends here, within this sacred chamber, within the church's community, recounting over and over again, deeper and more deeply, the life, the ministry, the passion, death, and resurrection of he who loves us. This is why we celebrate, we gather for Mass, especially on Sunday, where we commemorate that day where he rose from the dead. Our training as Christians begins and ends with going to Mass and treating Mass, going to Mass on Sundays, as that gold tier priority. So the life of prayer, community, fasting, confession, service, faith formation, coming to Mass, these seven ways in which we can train to be true athletes in our Christian lives. Our faith is not merely some esoteric philosophy, but rather, as the Maccabean brothers remind us, it is something that is quite down to earth, foundational, tangible, visceral even. Our faith is something that we can breathe in, taste, and touch. So for those of us who dare to partake of the Eucharist this day, allow Jesus' body and blood to seep within you, to possess you, to transform you into the saints you are called to be.